VIP. Let's kick it.
I am the voice of BZW Showtime Rocky Allen, and you're listening to Below Zero Radio. What is up, wrestling fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Below Zero Radio. I am your host and the voice of Below Zero Wrestling, Showtime Rocky Allen, and joining me in the beautiful and unfortunately soon moving, but only across the hall, BZW Studios. We finally plugged in the beer fridge. Very excited about that. No beer in it. That's less exciting. BZW Commissioner Nick Stokey. Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Things are percolating.
Yeah.
Things that we'll talk about. Things that we know about that we aren't going to tell people about. Yeah. Very exciting.
you mentioned the empty beer fridge, but it does have a bang in there at least right now.
Yes.
So we got, you know.
Shout out to our one and only
Brandon Nitro.
Brandon Nitro, 100%. Since we last spoke, people knew about the King of the North.
Yes.
Super fun show.
Yeah, going to be great. Finalize some competitors, just getting the last few touches on that. So, next week after that, next two shows, we'll really go in depth.
Absolutely.
And talk.
And that's one thing that we want to we've talked about it a little bit, but like we do have an intention here, folks, of getting you a minimum one show per week. Like we're still going to focus on the ability to get you a preview show kind of as close to the event, because as always, what is the card subject to, Mr. Stokey?
It's always subject to change.
Subject to change. So we're going to try and get those preview shows out to you, Fridays if possible. And we are going to try and get those recap shows out to you Mondays or Tuesdays. We don't want to leave you waiting long, but there's all sorts of as they call it, the business. There's all sorts of things to discuss in the business. And so we're going to try and do a show every week. That's why we made the investment here. Potentially some big, business doings tomorrow here. It may be happening, maybe isn't. I don't know. That's part of it as well.
Working on it.
But the beautiful, beautiful Below Zero Studios here in Horace. And we announced since the last time you guys have spoken or heard our dulcet voices, we announced Wrestleversary.
Yes, sir.
We are back in the sanctuary.
We are at where it all began, almost minus a couple days, but 3 years to the date.
Yep. And it's so cool, right? Because look, I shot my mouth off as I am prone to do and said Wrestleversary 5 Shields Arena. Whatever.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You go year by year.
Hey, I also shot my mouth off and said we'd have 1,000 people at Wrestleversary 3.
WinterSlam.
At WinterSlam. What did I say?
You just said Wrestleversary.
Sorry. WinterSlam 5 Shields Arena. That's what I said. Sorry. I also shot my mouth off and said WinterSlam 3,000 people.
We did it. Yeah, no, I'm really excited still to go back to the sanctuary. I mean, It's home. I mean, essentially, it's our ECW Hammerstein Ballroom type of thing,
And that was the long-winded way of saying, are we satisfied? No. Are we grateful? 100%. But we want to keep climbing. But that doesn't mean we can't do a 300-person show old Hammerstein Ballroom. As Dirty Dango once said, church wrestling. Yeah. Home is home.
Yeah, it is, and it's so hard. Every time I step into the sanctuary, I was just there the other day, not for wrestling purposes, but I was over there, and when you walk in, it's just like, we've done so much here. There's so much of BZW is because of the sanctuary.
Yes.
And, that's where it
looks
started.
Looks great on video, too.
Wonderful.
Yep.
It's a great venue with great production, great sound, great everything. So when we made the decision to go back, and it was tough. I mean, we had initially were going to be doing this May 4th. That was the plan. May the 4th be with you. And we had that in plan for a long, long time. Some venue things came up, and we had to make a very almost like last second decision. Essentially, worked it out at the sanctuary. More than happy that we're back there.
Yeah.
And here we are May 11th and Wrestleversary 3. And I think I told you, and you might even be able to say, I mean, tickets like crazy.
Yeah, we're almost done. Yeah. And this is sometimes a little pull behind the curtain. Sometimes we lie to you, the listeners. Sometimes we tell you that tickets are almost gone, even when they're not, so that you will buy tickets. This is no lie. You either buy the tickets, you're not going to go to the show. Because they're the thing about the, and we appreciate them and we love them, but the thing about the sanctuary is capacity is capacity.
Yeah.
There's no arguing about capacity.
Trust me, they want us to be able to put more in there.
Right.
You know, and we want it too, but there comes a time and a place to be that you have to say, this is as many people as we can. And last year, we sold out all the available seats.
Right.
Like the day before Wrestleversary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, technically, we did.
Yeah.
We sold out this year, front row, hour and a half.
Yeah. Yep.
Hour and 45 minutes.
And that shows the growth of our business and yep. the growth of as I believe Jake Taylor called you, the BZW Universe. And we know it's kind of a cheap knockoff, or not knockoff, but like we're borrowing WWE's terminology. But really, like that, for us to not announce a match, not a match.
No.
Three people are on the poster.
And that's the only reason that those three got announced is because we just put someone on the, yeah. out there. Like,
it's because I haven't gotten you my promo photos yet.
Exactly. That's why we just had to go with, you know, the promos that we had. But yeah, I mean, we put it out. They start selling right away. We're down to one VIP table.
That's awesome.
We start with six. We're down to one. And I can tell you for sure that the remaining floor seats, and this, I don't have a number in my head, but an exact number, but we're like 50% of those sold out too.
Yeah.
And we haven't announced anything. So if you're listening to this and you don't have your tickets to Wrestleversary and you're like, I'll wait to see what comes up.
Yeah.
Don't.
I mean, I'll say this, and it makes me a little bit sad, and that's why we do, I mean, in the future, boy, do we have a venue. We're not going to.
Not yet.
We're not going to. But.
No, I mean, what I mean by not yet is we have it. We're just not.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it yet.
You're not allowed to talk about anything right now.
We got something coming, but.
It's going to light some people up.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to call back to that in a future show. But we don't want, because here's what's going to happen. Here's the point that I'm making. Here's what's going to happen. And this is a good thing for BZW. Somebody that wants to go to Wrestleversary is not going to be able to go. It's going to happen. Somebody that wants to be at that show is not going to be able to go. And that stinks, but like, it's pretty cool for us, you know. I mean,
supply and demand,
right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, yeah, you know. go from 1,011 people, and then to our home, which we love, but our home is a 300 seat setup.
Yeah,
there's 700 people. That's your difference, and not that you're never gonna have a 100% retention rate. But like I said, somebody that waits on their tickets is gonna get to the point where they go. Could you imagine people scalping BZW tickets? Could we have a secondary market for? Are we going to be on StubHub?
Oh man, I don't. I mean, that would be crazy. I mean, I would hope that anyone that buys tickets, at least if they're going to resell them, or anything,
I know. I'm just saying. Don't be that person, because somebody who wants to go to this show is not going to be able to.
And once seats are gone, then you get like 50, 60 standing room probably. Like, I mean, because the balcony is still a great thing, but you got to stand in half of it.
Right.
And so if the seats are gone, then we're down to standing.
Yeah.
Standing room's gone. A ladder, but then we can't get through a window because the windows are stained glassed.
Yeah.
So you have a, when we start announcing matches here, let's say 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 week, whenever we do it, that again is going to create a little bit more. So if you're listening, like I said, you don't have tickets, get your tickets.
Yeah. Okay. Not a ton of other I know we're only 9 minutes into the show. There's not a ton of other BZW stuff to hit on. Elimination Chamber. I was a good boy. Mrs. Showtime mentioned that maybe I shouldn't sleep in our bed for this. And I didn't.
Because you got up.
Yeah. And I only got up at like 5.
Okay.
And so kind of caught it mid show and sort of watched part of the show with one eye open, and then later kind of caught the whole thing.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll say. And I don't know if we've ever had this conversation. I went to the first WrestleMania in Jerry World.
Okay.
Many, many moons ago.
Okay.
And I made the mistake of looking at the betting odds, like finding And it was, I wouldn't even say it's on accident because you're not going to click on it, but like I was not looking for them. I just saw an article and clicked on it. I was like, oh, cool. And I knew the Cardona win or the Zach Ryder win. I mean, I saw it.
Yeah.
And that moment, not that it was ruined for me, but like that would have been insane.
Yes.
Had I not seen the betting odds. And so
I didn't. So I can tell you, yes, it was insane.
Right, like, right.
You know.
And so all I'll say about that is I didn't look at the betting odds for Elimination Chamber, but this thing was chalk as chalk gets.
Yes. I mean, it was very, very obvious.
They telegraphed the whole thing. Yep. You knew Becky was going over. You knew Rhea wasn't going to lose, although the heat that would have been on Nia would have been insane.
But you couldn't.
You couldn't do it. Yep, you couldn't do it. They kind of telegraphed Drew. I mean, just the whole thing. There wasn't a surprise. But I think it was fine. It got us to where we needed to go. It was fine. They did the business they needed to do. They got 50, you know, we got 1,000 people in Butler Arena. They got 50,000 in Australia. So shout to them.
No, it was a good pay-per-view. It was, yeah. It was, I'll never get used to saying PLE. It's always going to be pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a good pay-per-view.
But nobody pays $59.99 for it anymore. True, so true.
It did what needed to be done.
Yeah.
You knew that some were going to win and that's just the way it was. But some stories just had to be continued or some just had to be, you know, started, whatever you want to call it. And I think they did a good job. You had a good card. Yes, it was very obvious on 6 of the 7 matches or whatever they had.
Yeah.
But I don't think that ruined it.
And I think the thing that they did that was important was they had good matches.
Yes.
And if you're going to telegraph what you're going to do, there better be some wow moments. The wrestling better be good and the stories within the matches better be good. And even, you know, and I, as you know, a master of my craft, I've listened to a lot of wrestling podcasts this week. And one thing people are talking about is the inevitable. And I know it was in Australia, right? But there is a mommy face turn cometh.
You think, or do you think she just does what she does? Because really if she never changes, does she have to?
The only thing it just makes her hard to book. In a sense of, you know, when you're going to WrestleMania now, people aren't going to boo Becky.
No.
They're not going to boo her either.
But they're not going to boo Ripley, I don't think.
And you don't want that. You want a cheer and a boo.
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the whole thing doesn't matter.
And I look back at it, and we don't have to go too far, but I mean, Stone Cold was never a nice guy, but he was the biggest baby face there was for a while. You know, like,
right, but
didn't have to.
But he went against normally true heels. I mean, because
okay,
yes. Rock was working heel for sure. Vince was working the heel of it. You know what I mean?
Maybe that wasn't a great thing. But.
So, and I think Stone Cold is a great comp for Rhea in that, no, she's not telling you to say your prayers. She's not telling you to eat your vitamins. I mean, she's like doing dominatrix stuff with Dirty Dom that we can't talk about on air like that.
I mean, eventually you do maybe have to start pairing her against some heels.
Right. And that's
what you're getting
because, and of course it was the hometown pop, but she's getting a pop everywhere. So it doesn't really matter. The point that I was making is, you know, the face versus face thing is a little bit,
I knew Becky was going to win. Didn't want Becky to win. I wanted Liv.
Sure.
Just because.
Well, you'd be in the same boat. Because people aren't going to boo Liv either.
No, they're not. But.
People aren't going to boo Liv either.
Either way, it was fun.
Yeah, good card, good match, awesome presentation. Obviously, the venue was tremendous. You know, I selfishly, I'd like them to bring the occasional PLE back to America. They seem to be getting some tax breaks or some, I don't know, but like the... going to, you know,
well, you wouldn't have got 50,000 for Elimination Chamber in America.
No, you wouldn't have. And
so it's tough.
I get that. I get that. I just, all these PLEs being in other countries is not my favorite, but whatever.
And maybe I'm speaking wrong here, but I believe they make a lot more money when they're overseas and like some of their overseas deals and stuff like that, they're making a lot more on than what they do in America.
Sure. Yep. No, I was much more cool with like the, occasional crown jewel at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. not for a year. Because they're going Germany.
I know.
Right? For what event again?
I think it has its own name.
It's just the Germany event.
Dublin something.
Sure.
Dublin dance. It's not that. I'm going to sound like an idiot, but.
Well, because Dublin is not in Germany.
Or Munich. What is it? German. We're going to fire up the bat computer here. Bash in Berlin. Dublin, yes. Berlin. Sorry.
Okay.
The brain is mush right now.
It's all right. It's across the seas.
Anyway, we've lost the thread a little bit here. Cody calls out Rock. Super excited. You're probably getting this on a Friday morning. Very excited to see what Rock says. And also, because it's almost, to me, it's almost like we're going to be here on the 1st of March, I suppose, when you guys are getting this. Man, you can have three matches? You can have two? You gonna do Rock Cody and Roman Cody?
I hope they don't do a three way. I really hope that's not what it comes to.
And of course, then there's the specter now, the looming specter of Seth turning on Cody.
Yeah,
being talked about,
So you're saying like if they did like a tag match or something like that, or turning in general,
or ultimately costing him. You know, the title.
Yeah.
Where it's not Rock that costs Cody the title.
It's Seth.
It's actually Seth.
Yeah.
And that's an easy story. You beat me three times. I was supposed to be the chosen one. Then you show up here after being gone. Like, that's an easy story.
Very, very. I don't love it, but I'm not.
I just want him to win. I just want him to win the thing. Whatever. That means they've done their job because I care.
Yes. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of him calling out The Rock, like, because I didn't think it was necessarily that they had to wrestle, but like not like singles, in a sense.
And that was my number one question is just how are we going to get to where are we going to get to? How many matches is it, right? Because I think a lot of people, well, we know the one match we're getting because it's already on the marquee, probably.
Yeah.
I would say 80%. Now, could get turned into a four-way, could get turned into a triple threat, could get turned into whatever. Yeah. But right now on the marquee is Cody Roman 2. It's on the marquee, probably almost certainly night 2. And it's either ones in the air to a chorus of boos because Philly don't play that. I mean, no. Philly don't play that at all. Or it's finally Cody gets to have his Rocky moment.
He's got to. It's got to happen.
I know.
It has
anyway,
to. Anyways.
We got plenty of time for a WrestleMania preview. But Rock will be live in Arizona on SmackDown tonight. Very excited, like I said, to see what he does. I loved his heel work. Very excited to see his promo. And then again, do we get Rock versus Cody? Or do we go straight to Cody, Seth, Rock, Roman? Or, you know, what is it? People have even thrown around the idea of, well, is it just going to be Seth versus Rock? And how would you build that? I don't know that that makes any sense. But again, I just, the are we going to get more than one match out of this? And frankly, I feel like Rock has to wrestle.
Rock, Triple H in a street fight.
Dude, Paul's going to die, though.
if you do it right.
They keep talking about his heart condition.
No, I know. That's definitely just the fan in me that wants something
like that.
I don't know how they do it. I don't know where it goes. We're going to find out a lot on SmackDown. I assume we're going to find out a lot.
The other promotion, our friends at All Elite Wrestling. And I just want to take a second here. And we've had this conversation because you kind of pulled the curtain back on my wrestling fandom. And I would just say I would certainly not. And there's a 0.04% chance any of this ever reaches his ears. But I would just not be doing what we're doing with BZW if it weren't for Sting. I was a TNT WCW Nitro guy. My parents didn't love that I wanted to watch wrestling, and I mean WWF was even raunchier at the time, you know, and so WCW was a slightly easier sell, but loved Crow Sting, loved. I mean, honestly, it's like my biggest regret in wrestling was Starrcade '97, the actual match, because I still think Sting versus Hogan is maybe the greatest story ever told. Certainly, in my opinion. The greatest non-WWF story ever. Now, the match stunk.
Yes, 100%.
But the long-term build was incredible.
Amazing. Every aspect, every little working part there was right.
Yep.
It just worked.
Yep.
I'm the same way. I was a WCW guy. I love WWF, WWE, you know, like, but when it came down to it, I was so in with the NWO stories, so in with the Sting, with all that WCW was doing for that year and a half.
Yep.
So Sting to me was my.
I even love the Wolfpack. I mean, I still have some of their Wolfpack, old stuff.
I was. I hated NWO when they went apart.
Right.
Like, give me NWO or Wolfpack.
I remember Sting, like Stinger talking about going into arenas and it looked like a Nebraska football game because that's how over they were.
Yeah.
Just so cool. And then ultimately, you know, we've talked, like, I'm a Dolph guy. I'm a Nick Nemeth guy. That was my world's meeting. His WWE debut was my world's meeting with Nick or with Dolph playing basically the Shawn role of the last survivor in the Survivor Series and hitting his finisher and kicking out and this. And then, so kind of like my niche, because obviously Dolph wasn't the biggest guy in the company, but kind of like my niche favorite guy then gets saved by my guy. And so it was just, and I wish that Stinger would have gone over at WrestleMania. I don't think it was necessary for Triple H to win that one, but whatever. And honestly, his feud with Seth was sick. Like the buckle bomb thing is unfortunate, but that was amazing. And this run in AEW has been exactly what he needed. And his partnership with Darby, I think, is exactly what Darby has needed.
Yeah. And I've liked it. I've been pretty invested in it. I can't say that I've watched it every single week. I don't have time to watch every single episode of all the wrestling but I stay in touch.
Yeah, we have these day jobs.
Yeah, and kids. But
those too.
Yeah. But I've watched a lot of it. I've stayed in tune, and I think that rather than have him just come in and be the singles guy that does a couple matches here or there, they've kept him active. They've kept him involved.
Yeah.
Because of Darby.
Yes.
And I think that Darby has played well with it. Sting has loved it.
That He's cinematic it. Match was so awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, bring it to last night.
Yeah.
It's WCW all over again.
Oh, Rafter Sting.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable piece of business. And we Crow watched
Sting.
Yeah.
It comes down. Oh, man.
The Flair stuff was a little bit
unneeded.
Right.
I don't want to talk about
whatever.
It.
Whatever. But it got them to where they needed to go.
Yes.
Which is that Sting's buddy was in the ring. They beat down Flair. They beat down Darby. And one last time, he drops from the rafters, beats up the heels with the bat. And I just wanted
Shivani makes the call that we've heard so many times. It's Sting.
Oh, that was amazing. And so I just wanted to say thank you. I mean, Steve Borden's Sting, like I said, he'll almost certainly never hear this, but as much as I've talked about, you know, Sean being my favorite wrestler, Sting's my favorite performer of all time. Yeah. And I know Rock's better on the mic. Like, there's no, and I get this, right? Like, there's no conversation you can have where you'd be like, oh, Sting's the greatest of all time. He's not. I mean, whether you're talking about a draw, that's Hogan. Whether you're talking about being a badass, well, that's probably Steve. The biggest superstar of all time, well, that's Rock. Mm-hmm. Sting's not the GOAT, but he's my GOAT.
And he's not the GOAT because he was true to WCW.
Yeah.
That's why. And that's why he gets lost. I mean,
who knows? Honestly, even, not even like, you know, had he gone over in 96, had he gone over when the company got bought? And that's one of the great what ifs in wrestling history. We don't have time to go into that. But with AOL Time Warner and the fact that they, like, Hogan, Nash, Scott Hall, Sting, Luger didn't even need to go to work. So the invasion angle stunk because those guys weren't there. Yeah. But if Hogan and Goldberg and Sting and Nash and Scott Hall would have been the ones doing the invading.
Even like two of them.
It could have been incredible.
Could have been.
Even just Sting and Goldberg.
Yeah, even just Crow Sting coming down from the rafters one time. If it was everyone else, and then Sting just comes down.
And hits The Rock. Or hits Austin.
Yes.
It would have been like, what?
Yeah, and we're unfortunately never got that.
Yeah,
and
we got some fun, really fun TNA Sting stuff. We got some fun New Japan.
Yes.
Some fun New Japan Sting stuff. We got, I mean, anyway, I just want to say thank you. And know that my involvement in this business is because of the Stinger, and he is the man. Okay,
so you're watching the match this weekend.
I hope so. It's annoying that you're in Dickinson, and I'm that's annoying.
promoting.
Yes. Okay, we had this discussion and we got about 6 minutes left before we got to get out of here. Maybe our minds have changed. Does he go out on his back or does he not? Does he not?
They're the champs. So
I know.
I mean, do you retire as a tag team champion? Because you just, I think he goes out.
You can do something cool. Go ahead. No, I'm not going to. You go. You go.
I think he goes out on his back. Something happens. There's something there that I don't know what's going to happen in the match. I don't know if it's a clean finish or a dusty finish or something. But you can't have him go out because then what does Darby do? Darby just, the titles get vacated and we're like, oh, sorry, Darby. Like, what happens there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do. I think, here's what I would do. I would win. I would have him win.
Even though all the old school guys
go out
on the back.
Here's why. And I've heard
what if they lift him into the rafters to finish? Jesus.
That's worse than that's like Shawn Michaels and God teaming against McMahon. he goes out on his back and they just reel him up into the rafters here's the thing. Both and not even in kayfabe. Everybody knows they don't need the rub. Matthew and Nicholas don't need the rub. They're EVPs, both in real life and in kayfabe. There is no giving them the rub, in my opinion. No. They don't need any of it.
No, I honestly believe that. I wish that someone else would have been. I don't know who. I wish they would have went with a different tag team. But
this is so. But it's worked. Allegedly, it's okay. And alleged because I think the path that everybody just wanted this to go on was Sting versus Darby. That would be the most popular. And then he does obviously go out on his back.
Yes.
Obviously, 100%.
Sting didn't want that.
He didn't want that. He wanted to team with Darby, and he wanted to wrestle the Bucks.
Yep.
And when you're Sting, you get what you want. So what I would do is I would have them win, and I would have the standing ovation, and I would have Flair come out, and I would have whoever, you know, Nash said he like contractually can't come out, but you know, whatever.
There's going to be a lot.
Have Kurt Angle come out, have Jeff Jarrett come out, whoever's there. I don't care. Come on out. And, then, you know, Darby just says, hey, out of respect, I understand that I'm a tag team champion, but that part of my story is done. AEW gets to do a fun tag team tournament and crown new champions and whatever. I don't care how the messiness. And like I said, for Darby, I think it's easy because he just says something along the lines of, we accomplished what we came here to accomplish. I'm not going to pick a new partner because I can't replace Sting.
So you have him leave the titles in the ring?
Sure.
Like just win? Celebration. Yep. Here's that.
And Darby just says, I'm not going to replace Sting.
The boots stay.
Sure.
And the titles stay.
And the bat in the middle of the ring. And that's your closing visuals, the bat in the middle of the ring.
So, yeah, he won't leave the boots. He'll leave the bat.
Yeah.
You got to leave the bat.
Right. You leave the bat.
Yeah. Okay, fine. I'm with you. You've changed my mind.
Okay.
If you're going to do it that way, if the titles get vacated then and there.
Right. And then if somebody, you know, asks a kayfabe logic question to Darby, he just says, we wanted to win Sting's last match. We wanted to beat the Bucks. We beat them. I am not going to replace Sting.
Yeah. And it just so happened we were the champs at the
right.
time. Which I don't think they ever needed. They
shouldn't have done that.
No, but now Tony Khan gets to make a big announcement 1 week and say they get to have the
tag team tournament.
The tag team tournament, you know, in Boston next week.
Yep.
You know, whatever he normally does.
Tony, call us. We'll fix your creative.
Yeah, Tony, give me a call.
All we require is like a little bit of talent trade.
You've asked for Tony and Steve Borden to listen to this podcast today.
Yeah. One, always Paul. Always Paul.
That's a standing invitation.
Yes. Okay. Non-Sting thing that you're looking forward to on this card. I'll go first and then I'll let you wrap up. Tony Storm is doing some of the best stuff in pro wrestling right now.
Yeah, really good.
And that makes me happy because it just didn't work the way it should have for her after her NXT run. It just, again, like it just didn't go the way that you thought it would because she was awesome in NXT and her time on the main roster in WWE just wasn't all it was cracked up to be. But I love Deonna Purrazzo, the virtuosa, and her time at TNA, and credit to obviously her and to Naomi, and these gals that are moving on up, probably from a salary structure, whatever. Like credit to the Knockouts division always.
It's always been strong.
Yep. And just again, what she's doing with this timeless character and with a very attractive heater and Mariah May, I just have enjoyed every minute of her black and white vignettes. She's been awesome. She has been awesome, and it is some of the best kind of character gimmicky work. And really, and I look, I have a ton of respect, and I really think that our wrestling style probably, I think, mirrors AEW a lot closer than it mirrors WWE. I think like Jack Ledger versus Jay Fowler is an AEW match.
Well, yeah, because they just they go.
You know what I mean? Right. And that's all fine. And so some of what I would say not necessarily is missing, but to be a more well-rounded show, some of this character work, like you're getting from Timeless Toni Storm, brings that bit of softness into the AEW product where it's more plentiful in WWE. What are you looking forward to? We got the card pulled up here.
You know, I was actually at the time before, you know, last night, I was really looking forward to the FTR versus Moxley and Claudio. But we got it last night. We got a triple threat or a six man tag. You know, it kind of ruined that for me. I was really looking forward to that. I think maybe the main, you know, the heavyweight championship. I didn't like what they did with it last night by any means, and how they, but I like Swerve. I love Swerve. I think this is the chance for them to finally like give someone that isn't like, this is finally their champion. Like, this is someone that we kind of built.
Yeah.
And I think if they don't,
and even he had a WWE run, but it didn't go the way he wanted either.
Not even close. Yep. And yeah, they had Hangman and everything, but I think Swerve's got to win it. So that's the one I'm looking forward to, obviously with Ospreay and everything, but I'm not super excited about this card. I'm not. Sure.
Here's the meanest thing I'll say about AEW. I actually really wish FTR would have gone back. What they could be doing in WWE right now with the tag division in the healthy
and Triple H in charge.
But FTR versus DIY, FTR versus Alpha Academy, FTR versus New Day, FTR versus Judgment Day, FTR like,
and not shaving each other's backs.
Yep.
Like, no, it's true. I wish they'd have gone back too.
Whatever.
It is what it is.
Okay. Nick, thank you so thank much you. For your time. Folks, we did a little tease. I'm working on something. Nick has something. There's such big things happening for BZW, and we are so excited to have you guys along for the ride. Have a great week.
2024, everybody. Let's go.
Absolutely.
I can't fucking believe you did that with the lights thing.